This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on September 15th, 2016. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Agenda item number 9. Which, as I mentioned before the break, that it is a proposal to launch rulemaking to ensure that U.S. political spending is free from political influence. This is a memo from Commissioner Weintraub, reflected in agenda document number 16-40-A. Commissioner Weintraub.
Can you add that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
For
discussion purposes.
Yeah, for discussion purposes, this also will incorporate item number 10, which is the statement of Vice Chairman Walther regarding the proposal to rescind advisory opinion 2006. 15 TransCanada. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I feel like a lot of the ground has already been covered, and I'm not proposing to repeat all of that again.
But just for fun, maybe we should.
Just for fun, really? Or did you think that was so much fun?
No.
I did. So. You have an odd idea of fun.
Scintillating, I'd say.
As I said earlier, this is a topic that I've been interested in pursuing for a very long time, and I think it has particular urgency now, this year, given everything we've been reading about in the news, given all the good information that we got at the hearing, which I really am very, very pleased. I was very excited to hold the hearing, and I was very pleased with all the information that we got there, and was very pleased to have my colleagues there and so attentive. And I know that you've all looked at the transcripts. And by the way, if anybody missed it, it's all up on my webpage with videos and transcripts and audios and any way you want to imbibe the information. There was so many good ideas there, talking about what actually constitutes ownership and control in the foreign national context, raising a lot of good ideas there. John Pudner has an idea that I know he's also pursuing on the Hill, but I think we could consider it here, too, in the context of a rulemaking about requiring that people who take credit card contributions get that three-digit verification code number from the back of the card. I don't see any reason why we couldn't consider that, too, in the context of a rulemaking. I'm happy to consider the proposal that my colleagues have suggested earlier in the day and look into whether there's something we could come up with that we would agree on involving certifications or safe harbors. I'm willing to look at it every which way. And what I would propose is that but as I've said to my colleagues offline, I really don't want to go make our long-suffering legal staff draft another long, complicated document going nowhere. So I want to get buy-in on the front end. I mean, I've heard intimations in the course of the day that maybe there's some interest in doing this, but I really think this is critically important. For us to do, for us to take on. And there are many, many issues we disagree on, but there's been a lot of agreement expressed at the table about the importance of this issue of ensuring that we don't have foreign money in our elections. And I really hope that we could try and come together and craft something that, and collect public comment. I mean, my forum was in part designed to try and persuade you that there are real issues out there and that there are smart people who are thinking about them and coming up with good ideas for us, but that was just obviously a small subsection of the people that I would hope would comment on a real NPRM if it looked like we were really willing to tackle this in a serious way. That several of the commenters at the hearing pointed out that, given what we're seeing out there in terms of these very sophisticated intrusions into our political system that are coming from abroad, you really would, as I said in my memo, have to be wearing some pretty rose-colored glasses to think that there couldn't possibly be any foreign money sneaking in through some of the dark money vehicles that are out there. And yes, I would love to tackle that issue of the dark money vehicles and bring more sunlight to that, but I'm trying to focus this in more narrowly on the issue of foreign nationals. So, you know, maybe this one's not so controversial. So I'm going to cross my fingers and make a motion, and obviously that's not to close off any debate. I'm happy to hear anything that anybody wants to say, and I purposely made this very open-ended. I move that the Commission open a rulemaking and direct the Office of General Counsel to draft an NPRM. It's a notice of proposed rulemaking for those of you out there who are not in the weeds on our FEC lingo, that would allow the Commission to consider every option for reducing the potential for foreign spending in our elections, taking into account the views of every commissioner and all the good information that we already have in front of us, and I'm sure we would get many more good ideas if we opened this rulemaking. So I really, really hope that maybe we could move forward on this.
Is there any further discussion? Mr. Vice Chairman, I don't know if you wanted to speak to the agenda document that you made blue.
That's pretty much speaks for itself. I had occasion to address the issue back in 2006. I felt that, and I still think the answer to the issues that they confront us, especially, are more acute now because of Citizens United. Whether it, we can argue all day as to whether or not there's been a nuanced change by the fact of its adoption, but certainly the volume of money resulting from Citizens United in all areas has become so great that I think there's a concomitant amount of foreign money, if not more, percentage-wise, as we go forward. And I think we have a greater need for that reason to take a good hard look as a commission, give it our best professional judgment, try and do our best. If we can't, at least the process will have been educational for the public and for Congress. We will be seen to have tried to do the best we can with a difficult situation, and it may ignite some interest in Congress to actually do more on their own to try and give us more guidance. I recognize that my colleagues are reluctant to adopt a rulemaking when Congress has not passed anything and attempted to, some people in Congress attempted, and I think mightily, to give guidance in the past, and it was unsuccessful, but that I think there was more than 50% vote on that issue, just not enough to get it adopted. But certainly there's a lot of interest in Congress. I think we should give it a shot. I think as a rule, as professionally, it's within the purview of our jurisdiction to give guidance in this area, and we ought to do that. So there's a number of different suggestions that have been made as to how the rules might play out, and there's new suggestions today in connection with the one that we previously voted on regarding certification issues. I think that's interesting. It certainly could be incorporated in a number of different ways. I should point out that in 2006, when I made my statement, I did point out that PACs at least deserve a different analysis on the issues than with respect to direct contributions and that kind of thing. So I think there's room to try and make a good series of rules that will staunch most of the money coming in, a good portion, much more than now, that is foreign of nature, and still not impede good business, which we all think we've essential to our nation also. So I'm hopeful that this process and the efforts by all commissioners so far will precipitate some action. I also don't think we can give promising guidance other than through rules and giving the public a chance to participate. Maybe Congress wants to participate. We got a letter or two, I guess, in connection with a recommendation by Commissioner Ravel. Hopefully, we could. Maybe they'd want to have a hearing and talk about it and invite us. So I'm glad we have this process going today, and hopefully we'll make some headway.
Commissioner Goodman.
We may come full circle now. We've said a lot. I have listened, and I think I was comfortable with the proposal we made to address this issue of U.S. subsidiaries. And I'm not sure that in the breadth with which this proposal is written, I'm ready to take a leap today. without looking where we're going to land. It seems a little bit all possible options. When I think we can address this issue with the rule that we propose today to limit the decision-making to U.S. citizens using U.S. income. Because also, not only does it say all options, but Commissioner Weintraub, you have stated what your ultimate option is in the New York Times, which is referenced in this
proposal. I'm willing to consider anything. I am not saying it. I apologize for interrupting you, but I just want to be really yes. clear on this. What I wrote in the New York Times was intentionally provocative. Yes. It was intended to stimulate discussion, and I hope that it has. But I am not saying today that that is the only thing that I would consider, or there aren't many other ideas that I think would be well worth entertaining and that I might ultimately support.
Okay, fair point.
Including yours.
Although you did start today saying that lawyers are advising people on the wrong law today. And so I'm not prepared to open up, I guess, that Pandora's box today, given that you've already expressed that there is a zero tolerance standard. Your proposal in the New York Times, which informs where I think you want to go with this vehicle, you know, when I look at the matters we have decided on the foreign national since 2010, I wasn't here for the Trans-Canada one, but it followed that general paradigm. It followed the paradigm that's been in existence for 30-some years. So your proposal in the New York Times contradicts that. Then there was this matter called Canseco for Congress. And I guess I'd ask you, how does your paradigm that you published in the New York Times apply to Canseco, where a Mexican company gave money to the American candidate? The American candidate owned a Texas holding company, a U.S. domestic. So American citizen owned the Texas company, and the Texas company owned the Mexican. Is that an American citizen or is that a foreign citizen? My point is that we applied the basic paradigm of looking at the basic definition of foreign national as recently as MER 6919, which was decided in 2016. We said, nope, that's a Mexican company. And we voted 6-0 to punish the Mexican company and the American citizen, even though he, a Texas American citizen, through his Texas holding company, owned that Mexican company. So we'd have to unravel a lot of those issues, and I'm not sure I'm prepared to shift from that basic paradigm. There was also the case that I was recused from, but it's public, and that was a case involving Russia Today Network. And so I guess I would ask you, under your theory that 1% spoils the whole, or one wags the whole dog, 1% characterizes the whole association as foreign, how do you then treat wholly owned American media companies like Russia Times or Al Jazeera America? How does your paradigm apply to the New York Times, which is owned 17% by Carlos Slim from Mexico and is publicly traded? So I assume the ownership of the New York Times probably goes over 20% when you account for Carlos Slim's 17%. Are we going to have zero tolerance for that type of foreign spending and discussion of American politics? SEIU and dozens of international trade unions employee labor unions. The SEIU touts that it has hundreds of thousands of members in Canada. And yet it's a prolific maker of American independent expenditures. So when you say all options, I want to know a little bit more about where I'm going to land and have some greater notion than to just open it up and see where we land. And that's that's, I guess, my primary concern with voting for that, for this today. We can take more time to discuss it, but I'm not comfortable moving forward with it today.
Commissioner Weintraub.
You know, I kind of feel like I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. If I give you a specific proposal, then you're going to take it apart and say, no, I don't want to do that thing for this reason. If I say I'm willing to consider all options, you say, oh, it's too open-ended. I don't know where we're going to land with that. And what it really sounds to me is like you're not willing to consider making any changes at all to the current situation. Now, I said, and I'm going to repeat this, that I am willing to consider, I am not looking to find a path to codify the ideas that I put forward in my op-ed. I am willing to consider all options, including the ones that you put forward today, which I thought were not well suited to a policy statement and would have to be done through a rulemaking. And you insist, you know, you started out from the place of saying, well, I'm just going to ignore what you just said and instead assume that what you really want to do is what you said you didn't, you just said you didn't want to do, which is to find a way to codify the ideas in your op-ed. That's not where I'm trying to go with this. I have not prejudged the issue. I have not prejudged where we have to land. So if you think that we need to figure out in advance what the rule is going to say and make sure we have four votes for it before we even put out a notice and seek public comment on different options, then that to me is a recipe for never getting anything done, which is, in fact, what we've been doing around here for the last 6 years since Citizens United passed, getting nothing done in terms of accommodating our rules to that decision. And that is, you know, I thought there was, when I was listening to what people were saying before, I thought there was a slim chance. I wasn't overly optimistic, but I thought there was a slim chance that people might be open to talking about this. But, you know, if you say no today, you know, when are you going to say yes? That you will have ample opportunity as OGC is drafting this to say, you know, I want to consider this and not that. Oh, that idea is just too crazy to even put out for public comment. I'm willing to talk to you about that. I'm willing to engage with you on these issues. But, you know, what I'm hearing from you is that we put our proposal on the table. That's the only thing, which is basically codifying, you know, what we believe, what you guys believe to be the law today. We're not willing to consider any other options. And that means wholly owned subsidiaries of foreign governments, in your view, can go ahead and spend money in U.S. elections. And, you know, you can scoff at my example of the, you know, ISIS fighters who decide to buy a company in the United States. But what would stop them from doing that in your paradigm? How can we assure the American people that all these dark money groups are not spending one penny of foreign money when they're running their ads and they don't disclose any of their donors? I'm looking for a path forward here. It doesn't have to be my ideal path. It certainly doesn't have to be what I put forward in my op-ed. But, you know, as other people besides me have said, we're kind of in a situation of national crisis affecting our national security, our political integrity, knowing that there are people outside of our borders who really would like to influence our election, would like to muck it up, spread disinformation. How better to spread disinformation than through some dark money group? And, you know, you say you're not willing to consider even starting the rulemaking. You want to shut it down at the beginning and not consider any options for moving forward? To me, that shows a high degree of tolerance for allowing a whole lot of uncertainty out there as to whether foreign money is coming in and an unwillingness to consider doing anything constructive on this topic.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Goodman.
I think we did take a position that we thought was constructive today. We did set clear rules on who can make the decisions, what kind of money can be used, with clear restrictions on foreign involvement in that and a new certification process, which you yourself said was constructive. But then let me just ask you, if you're worried about disinformation in the public and foreign influence, what is your position on foreign-owned media enterprises like Russia Times or Al Jazeera America? I believe it's now closed, but things like that. But, you know, what is your paradigm because the only way I've heard it expressed is in your New York Times piece. Please don't fault me for reading you and taking you seriously. I'd
also like you to listen to me today.
Okay, I'm listening to you today. You do not think that what you said in the New York Times is the law today?
I do not think that's the only option that we can consider. In a rulemaking, we could set new rules. That's the whole point of a rulemaking. And if you want to raise the issue in that rulemaking, I think it's actually a very interesting issue that we have not taken a position on yet. How do the rules on media ownership, on the media exemption, and the foreign national ban, what's the interplay between those? I don't think that's a topic that the Commission has addressed yet, but we could consider it in this rulemaking.
So you would consider your proposal would contemplate taking up then foreign ownership of the New York Times as potentially tainting the New York Times as a foreign national?
If you want to consider media entities and the foreign national ban, I am willing to consider that in the context of this rule.
I'm not proposing it. I'm asking it's your proposal. I'm testing the boundaries of what I'm being asked to vote on.
I'm saying I'm willing to throw anything in that will get four votes for it.
And the labor unions as well, that you're contemplating taking up international labor unions?
You know, the amount of resources that are available to corporations in this country dwarfs by a factor of 1,000 or more, I think. I don't have the statistics on me right now, the resources that are owned by labor unions. But if you want to throw labor unions in, you know, that's why I want to focus on corporations, because that's where the money is. But, you know, if you want to throw unions in there, I'm happy to throw that in, too.
Mr. Chairman, I would need more time to consider all these.
I will just say that, you know, if you want more time, I'm happy to talk to you anytime and hear what you have to say. But I started talking about this, well, I started talking about doing a foreign national rulemaking in 2010. You weren't even here then, but I have certainly put it on people's, should have been on people's agenda since at least March of this year. So you want more time? Absolutely. Tell me when you're ready. In the meantime, I'll make a motion whenever it's appropriate.
Okay. And I commend you for raising the profile of this issue, because, to be honest, I've examined it and just gone back and looked through all sorts of documents that I've never pored through to get a better grasp on this issue and the full implications of it. And I think that, and I give you credit for spurring a conversation on the larger public, and also, I think, an investigation amongst commissioners themselves on what the lay of the land is and what would be potential implications of changing the lay of the land. The concern I have is, a wise person once told me that it's generally not the best course to undertake a rulemaking without a clear idea of where you might land. And the wise person was you, Ellen. You once, I remember you when we first got here, saying that there's. I give you credit. I think that just from the discussion we've had here, and the motion that we had on Commissioner Ravel's, we're that left the realm of, you know, the speculative, and now we were actually voting on a proposal to rescind AOs and presumably an entire line of AOs and the underlying legal framework that those represented. And the concern I have is, are our first principles when we start this exercise, are we just on two different planets? The proposal that we had was operating within the lines that have been set forth since 1978 about how the associational freedoms of domestic subsidiaries will still be intact, provided that there are precautions that are in place about preventing influence of foreign nationals over decision-making, no solicitation of foreign nationals for contributions to a PAC, and also that if there are expenditures made, that it only comes from domestically generated revenue. And so that is the paradigm within which we're operating. And at least... at least I think that Commissioner Ravel expressed this. I don't know if the others did. I believe your concern is that just by definition, domestic subsidiaries of foreign corporations, there's no way that they can truly be independent. And if that's the case, and if that were shared by the others, then our starting point's so disparate that there's really not a place we could land. Because if we're in this world where a single foreign shareholder dollar kind of taints the organization, so publicly traded corporations, then that would make it difficult even for us to come to an agreement on a certification regime where we would say, okay, well, let's at least agree that PACs and others certify that the money that they received is not from a foreign national, and that a foreign national was not in any way involved with any decision-making process. If we have totally different ideas of what a foreign national is, if we believe that by that you mean not from a foreign national, that no foreign national was involved in the decision, and that any monies were from domestically generated revenue, if that's what we're thinking, but you're thinking that if anything were to come from a corporation that has foreign shareholders or a significant number of foreign shareholders, then even that becomes a difficult hill to climb. So what I'm saying is that I don't want to foreclose the possibility of us trying to find some common ground, because I think that our interests in enforcing the ban are there. But I think that there may need to be a little bit more discussion or legwork to figure out, are there some first principles that we can start from that would allow a potential compromise to be reached?
Can I interject just to respond to your comment?
Because, and if I mischaracterize you, please.
I think you do, and maybe I portrayed that in a way that made you think that. But what I was saying was, in the AO, in the Trans-Pacific AO, those constraints were insufficient. Insufficient to ensure that there really isn't foreign influence. And that's the concern. I mean, if we were to devise some scheme that comes up the course of the rulemaking, where we would get information from people and be able to consider ways to have that clear assurance that, in despite the corporate structure, that we could put in, and I don't know that certification would be the thing that I would feel comfortable with necessarily, but some way that would enable us to even enforce that rule. I think what we have now, we don't have the capability of enforcing the prohibition on foreign nationals. That's what I was trying to communicate.
Because the concern I had about the earlier comments was the statement that one cannot help, even if someone who's an American citizen and who's on the board of directors and is in charge of making decisions for a domestic subsidiary's PAC or independent expenditure effort, if the notion is that they can't help but be influenced by the fact that I've met the foreign nationals own this organization, and therefore just the way in which the corporation is organized, you can't help but be influenced by that foreign source. If that's what I thought was being said earlier, in which case that would have seemed to exclude all domestic subsidiaries. So maybe that wasn't...
That was not my intention.
Okay. Commissioner Weintraub.
Corporations, domestic subsidiaries that are wholly owned, 100% wholly owned by foreign governments. Is that a topic you'd be willing to address through rulemaking? Are you willing to say, as you're sitting here today, that you are completely comfortable that a wholly owned subsidiary of a foreign government, that it's perfectly fine for them to be spending as much as they want in U.S. elections, as long as there's somebody who's a U.S. citizen who's cutting the checks?
I think that would certainly narrow the range considerably, and I'd be willing to talk with you about that. I think that there is I think there is a difference and can be a difference between foreign government owned versus foreign national owned. And so, I mean, if we were able to, what I'm saying is I don't want to end the conversation and end the discussion, because if there is some way, even if we end up with something that we're not even all that satisfied with, because we all have to give, but we find that it moves the ball and lends a little more clarity, I don't want to foreclose that. But like I said, during the course of the conversation, there have been some positions that had been advanced, which made me concerned that even kind of a lowest common denominator approach might be difficult to.
Mr. Chairman, could I?
Okay. Mr. Vice Chairman, and then Commissioner Rabel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I'm a little dismayed that at least the two of you are trying to not have even a public comment period, even an ability to look at what all the possible solutions might be in advance, and saying, well, because we think you prejudged it. I mean, I feel that what you're doing is saying we can't even have a thoughtful discussion of these issues when we're saying that we want that discussion, that we want to be open, we want to hear what the public has to say. We think it's so important, so crucially important to talk about these things. And admittedly, this is a complicated issue. It's not a simple issue. And I think we all believe that. We're not, here to just do a knee-jerk response. What we're trying to do is just get input from people all over the country. And I know you don't like real people, but academics and
I am real people.
Yeah,
so
right.
My kids
I've heard that
and,
been said. I think that really we want to get a lot of people who have given thought. There were many of them at the forum. There's lots more of them all across the country, I'm sure, who would want to weigh in on this subject and give us guidance in how we can formulate some of these responses. And to just foreclose that, I think is really kind of a sad thing for us.
Mr. Commissioner Goodman. I think the Vice Chairman, I want to recognize you.
I'm sitting in a bad spot here today.
I think the tennis ball's been flying back and forth in front of the net a few times.
I just want to add this. As I've been told, when Congress adopted BCRA, there was a requirement that the Federal Election Commission had to adopt rules within a certain period of time.
That's true.
And when the Congress told the Federal Election Commission that they had to adopt regulations, they did it. Very diverse, brand new theories, brand new thoughts, brand new everything. They were told, listen, you have to agree and come up with rules. They worked day and night, and they did it. I see it no different here. We have different ideas, but little cracks in each person's, in each of our thinking that could make for a deal. And I think that we should put self-imposed deadline, maybe get a procedure that we agree on how we're going to go about it. I frankly think that we ought to consider getting invite a team of people who are experts in the field of of corporate structure organizations. One of the things Citizens United has done is invited corporations to participate in our electoral process to an unprecedented degree. And there are all sorts of different combinations, whether a corporation is formed and is a partner with a limited partnership, or whether there's half shares that are voting and half are non-voting shares, whole different ways in which control can be given up and still get the benefit of the wisdom of the people who have voting shares, who then select the board of directors. There's a whole different slug of combinations that we could look at that probably satisfy our needs. But bear in mind, the law is what the law is. Foreign money is not to intrude into our electoral system. So we have to be guided by that no matter what. The second one is we don't want to interfere with our ability to engage in a free enterprise system. And so I think it can be done. I think you could look at the combination of corporations. You could look at of a combination of people on boards of directors. You could look at certain issues with respect to PACs. I think there's an argument, and after all, it is the money of the shareholders. They would have a say, and it could be probably structured to give them pretty much of a guaranteed say for their own money, within some tolerable limits, I assume. But I really think that it's a matter of us deciding whether or not we're going to do this. If we make that decision, I think it can be done. But so that's what I'm looking for, is maybe some kind of a deadline that we give ourselves and a commitment.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I think that the deadline idea is a constructive suggestion. What I hear my colleagues saying is, we don't like all of your ideas, and therefore we're not willing to consider any of your ideas. And that, to me, does not really have any path forward. All we're asking is to, get our lawyers drafting something. You would obviously have ample opportunity to review the document. And if there was something in there that you found so outrageous that you thought, well, I would never, ever, under any circumstances, ever support that, so no point in even having it in there. We can, there's plenty of opportunities for crossing things out. But all we're trying to do is start the ball rolling. And as I said, if you're not willing to at least empower the lawyers to put their pen to paper and start drafting some things up for us that we could then review, and it would still take 4 votes to get that NPRM out the door, then it seems to me that you're really saying we're not willing to consider anything at all.
Commissioner Goodman.
That's a bit of a mischaracterization. We were for something today. We did. We drafted it ourselves.
Well, let me
restate. And you opposed it, and it died by a vote of 3-3. So it's not fair to say we're not for anything. We were
for
something
other than that document. You are not willing to consider any other proposal, anything.
Well, I really don't want to go after the New York Times. but you got to understand, Mr. Weintraub.
No, I can't.
You took a shot. You expressed a viewpoint in the New York Times, and you doubled down on it today, and you said lawyers out there are giving bad information. The old law isn't the law, current law anymore. And that's your starting predicate. And we were asked to vote on a proposal by Commissioner Ravel today that completely undid 38 years or more of precedent of this body. So your starting points, we were forced to vote on a starting point today. Completely abolish the construct that's been in place for 38 years. So I accept your representation today that what you wrote in the New York Times, you're not bound by, that you were being provocative. I do. We had a concrete proposal today that we drafted. If you want to draw up a concrete proposal, I'd be happy to discuss it with you in the future, but I'm not going to harness a whole proceeding. I'm not prepared to support a whole proceeding of the commission today to jump off this without seeing what the ideas are and where we're going to land. As I just mentioned, there are some really thorny issues there, going all the way from the labor unions to media corporations. Given that the interest expressed is no longer just a contribution or expenditure by a foreign national, and is now about foreign-influenced money, amorphously defined. And until I get greater comfort with that concept, I'm standing on what I voted for today.
Commissioner Weintraub.
So what you're saying is what you voted for today is the only thing that you're willing to consider. You're not willing to let our lawyers try and draft up a document that you could then consider again to see whether there is anything in there that you might be willing to support, including any kind of limitation on spending by corporate treasury funds by corporations that are wholly owned by foreign governments. You're not willing to consider that proposal. Let's do that. That would move the ball forward. Let's consider whether that's a good idea.
Why don't your office draft that up?
Let me just say a couple of words. I'm not prepared to support this today, but I will think I think that this issue is one of importance. I think it has generated a lot of interest, and I think that ultimately we have the same goal. And I want to think long and hard about how we might be able to move the ball forward, and talk with you over the next and talk with all of you over the next couple of weeks to see if there might be a way. I think that this is a little unclear as to where we might be able to go, and notwithstanding the skills and abilities of Mr. Noti and his staff, the ability to consider every option might even be a Herculean task, even for you and your talented lawyers. I don't say that to be glib and say that let's just blow this off. I do want to think a little bit harder about what might be a way, because I think we need to figure out where the potential agreement could lie, and want to think about how we might be able to best get the wide range of perspectives that I think we're looking for. So, long and short is I can't support this today, but I do want to keep the dialogue open to see whether or not there is some way that we might be able to make some constructive progress, Mr. Vice Chairman.
I'm really glad to hear that, and I think if we maybe we could call upon you to call another meeting in 30 days, sometime next month, for not necessarily action, but at least communication on some directions would be helpful. I think as long as we keep the dialogue going in a constructive way, we'll get input already from people that we know and maybe from Congress on areas that are also being thought of. But, if we pick some issues, for example, like certification, that's a sensible approach in certain areas, not for everything. If you want to look at a combination of corporations and how they're structured, that's another way. PACs certainly, I think, deserve a way to work with a PAC situation. So, if we work at it, I think we'll find common ground in more areas than we think. But we've got to, we can't just say, write me a letter and or send me something by email and tell me this is it. And then we're all busy, and by the time we get back to it, we think of a bunch of reasons why it doesn't work. And so it never, we don't gel unless we decide we're going to actually get it done. I think we could do it.
Commissioner Hunter?
One of the things Commissioner Weintraub said earlier was, just let me know if you think anything in here is crazy, and we'll take it out. And the problem is there's a lot of things in there that we don't, or at least I'll speak for myself, don't think that should be even placed into an NPRM. And once we get into that, frankly, there's not a whole lot left from your bullet points. And I think we're trying to be nice here today. It's our best effort. But there are some crazy ideas in here, just to be blunt about it. And happy to talk about them later. As you know, we didn't get the memo all that long ago. I did read your New York Times op-ed, and you even admitted in there that part of your purpose was to blunt the impact of Citizens United, a United States Supreme Court decision that gave corporations the right to exercise their First Amendment right and run independent expenditures. And so, here we go with another shot at trying to curtail that First Amendment right. And I did come to your forum. I listened to almost the whole thing, and I've reviewed some of the transcript. And I came away, I didn't want to, I was trying to be open-minded, but came away with, with a similar feeling. And I said that to Ken Doyle at the time. It's just hard for me to believe that most of the speakers there, had as a true interest, they didn't seem to have an interest of really curtailing foreign influence. To me, just listening to them, most of the conversation was about curtailing the ability of corporations to participate. And that's just what I took out of it. By way of an example of something that I think is pretty crazy, and I also said this at your forum. I said this to Norm Ornstein when he talked about it. It looks like it's the third bullet. We should take into account the possibly divided loyalties of U.S.-based companies. And I asked him what he meant by that. I don't have the colloquy in front of me right now, but He basically said, yeah, there's U.S. corporations that do things that are against American national interest. And the last thing I think the federal government should do, and especially this place, is to have any say over who's loyal to this government and who's not. That is just so crazy to me. It's hard for me to even address it. And, you know, I think there's plenty of people. Anyway, I probably should stop there. That to me is certainly not something that the federal government should be engaged in doing. And it sort of falls into the, and again, I'm trying to be respectful. It falls into the category of, you know, another attempt to restrict speech. And that's the way I view the bulk of the bullet points in here. And a lot of them are hard for me to take seriously.
Commissioner Weintraub.
All right. So let me ask you specifically. I've tried this before, and I can't seem to get a straight answer. A rulemaking that would explore whether companies that are wholly owned subsidiaries of foreign governments, whether those entities should be spending in U.S. elections. Is that a crazy idea that you're not willing to consider?
Is that on the list? I might just be missing it. Is that on your list of things that you
I'm sorry, am I limited to that? Because my point was to consider every option.
You're not limited to the list, but I just don't see that in here.
Asking you now.
Okay. I am certainly not in favor of foreign government spending in elections. There's nobody that is in favor
Is that on the table? A rulemaking that would address corporate spending, corporate treasury funds by companies that are wholly owned subsidiaries of foreign governments.
So it's basically the SSF issue.
No. No, corporate treasury funds, not the PACs. Corporate treasury funds, spending in U.S. elections by companies who are wholly owned subsidiaries of foreign governments. Is that a crazy idea, or could we consider that?
I don't think that's a crazy idea. First of all, second of all, I don't see it on your list. But I'm just saying, you've asked us to look at your list, and you spent years on your list and, you know, read everything. So I'm just kind of surprised it's not on your list. So, but we're not saying that there's nothing we should consider. And as Commissioner Goodman said, we've made a proposal. We voted on it. We think it was a concerted effort on our part. Commissioner Goodman's office drafted it. We're not.
Saw it 48 hours ago for the first time.
You can spend more time with it if you want to vote again next time. You know,
I want to put it in a rulemaking. I want to get comment.
I understand that, but as Commissioner Goodman said, this is something that we put forward. We think it's a step in the right direction. It covers a lot of the issues we've talked about today. It allows a certification process, which, you know, does provide something new. And that's a new thing that's not now out there, and it provides more safeguards. And I don't think that there's ever a process where everyone can feel completely comfortable that there's not any foreign influence.
But that proposal would allow spending by corporations that are wholly owned subsidiaries of foreign governments as long as a U.S. citizen directs the spending. It would. Under your proposal. So how about a rulemaking that would put your proposal out and the proposal that I'm making right here, right now? It's not complicated. I'm sorry it wasn't in the memo, but it's really not that hard to understand. That would put out the proposition that we should look at the rules for spending corporate treasury funds only by corporations that are wholly owned subsidiaries of foreign governments.
I'm not sure that that's not already addressed by current law, but if you want to, as Commissioner Goodman said, if you want to draw something up, we'll take a look at it.
That's what I'm trying to do today, is to get consensus that we could have our lawyers draft something up for us, for our consideration. You're saying you don't want our lawyers. Do you want me personally to write it, and then you'll consider it?
I think you can do it.
Is there anything anybody else wants to say, or are we ready to go to a motion?
Is the motion
made? I will.
Okay.
My motion. I'm going to stick with the motion that I circulated in advance so everyone would have time to consider it. I move that the Commission open a rulemaking and direct the Office of General Counsel, because this is what they do. They draft NPRMs for us. Direct them to draft a notice of proposed rulemaking that would allow the Commission to consider every option for reducing the potential for foreign spending in our elections, taking into account the views of all commissioners. And that document would then be drafted and presented to the commissioners, and commissioners could mark them up and see whether there was anything left at the end of the day that we were willing to put out for public comment.
Is there any further discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
No. Madam Secretary, that motion fails by a vote of 3-3 with Commissioners Ravel, Weintraub, and the Vice Chairman in favor, and Commissioners Goodman, Hunter, and myself opposed.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner
Weintraub?
Can I
raise another suggestion? And I apologize. I didn't put this in the memo either, but it has occurred to me that one thing that perhaps we could do to reassure the American public that we actually take this issue seriously. I read your proposal, and you talked about some old cases as evidence that the commission takes these issues seriously. Look at these precedents. Well, some of those precedents took 5 and 6 years to resolve. So there must have been a tolling agreement, because one of them started in 1996 and didn't get resolved until 2002. Could we direct our counsel that it is the sense of the commission that foreign influence is a really important issue, and we would like them to prioritize that in their enforcement docket? And if we get complaints on that issue, we want them to put that at the top of the list and tee them up for our decision-making as soon as possible, so that if there are allegations in this election, we're not still talking about it in 2018. Could we make it an enforcement priority?
Without objection, it's been a while since I've looked at our EPS criteria. I think that those rank highly in terms of getting scored, but I have no problem with that.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Baker. I'm getting a nod from folks in the OGC. So, Commissioner Goodman.
I don't believe this violates any privilege to go to aggregate data, but my office has looked at the docket cases inside the building, and we count 13 MERS of various origin, either internal referrals or external, pending in OGC that deal with a foreign national issue.
Well, let's tee them up and get at them.
Sure.
That's actually a fair number of complaints.
They are not all complaints, external.
Okay.
I think that brings us to the end of the agenda, and not a moment too soon. So I will turn to Debbie Ciccona on behalf of the staff director. Are there any management or administrative matters to consider?
Mr. Chairman, there are none.
Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.